Radio Daily. Your friends are here. It's 4/20, 2017. I have to say that by law, because it's so commercialized now. You know, we were basically to the point where we were going to have 4/20 greeting cards from Hallmark. You know that, right? I'm just saying. It's just, so hi there. We're the fine folks from GeekRadioDaily.com. You might know us from Facebook and Twitter. And if so, hopefully you got to see the Krypton trailer before they took it down from everywhere. I hope you saw it, because it was kind of interesting. Anyway, yeah, it's this day. You're here. We're here. The folks who are here, the man celebrating it the way he should. It's Podcasting's Rich Siegfried.
I'll smoke it with you, bro. We'll go to the loony bin together.
Hey, my brother in arms. I'm the wonderful Billy Flynn.
You know, if I had the money, I'd smoke 2-3 of these every day.
I have no idea what you're talking about. What happened, sir?
First of all, I feel like I should laugh like Seth Rogen throughout the entire show. And second of all, I don't do that nonsense. I keep the temple clean. In 1841, The Murders in the Rue Morgue by Edgar Allan Poe is published by Graham's Magazine in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. It is widely to be considered as the first detective story.
I'd like to point out for the record that all you admitted to was not laughing like Seth Rogen throughout the show. 1862, Louis Pasteur and Claude Bernard complete the experiment falsifying the theory of spontaneous generation.
In 1902, Pierre and Marie Curie isolate 1 gram of radium, the first sample of a radioactive element from 8 tons of pitch blend ore.
Oh, they were bright. 1926, Western Electric and Warner Brothers introduced Vitaphone, a process to add sound to film and one of the first uses of electronic amplification.
Hello, you've called Vitaphone. 1939, David Sarnoff, president of RCA, delivers a speech to an NBC camera announcing the launch of regular public television service with the formal opening of the 1939 New York World's Fair in Flushing, New York on April 30th, which, what, huh?
That's so weird. 1940, in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, RCA publicly demonstrates the first electron microscope ever seen in the United States. It was 10 foot tall and weighed half a ton.
1951, on the popular See It Now television show, hosted by journalist Edward R. Murrow, scientists from the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, MIT, demonstrate the Whirlwind Machine, the first computer to operate in real time and to feature video displays.
Ooh. 1961, the FCC gave approval to FM stereo broadcasting. However, it'll take another 5 years before it catches on. FM. No static at all.
And approximately 34 years before it's obsolete. In 1964, the first transcontinental picture phone call is made between the Bell System exhibit at the World's Fair in New York City and Disneyland in Anaheim, California.
1967, the NASA Lunar Lander Surveyor 3 lands on the surface of the moon.
1972, Apollo 16 lands on the moon. It is the 10th manned mission in the Apollo program and the 5th mission to land on the moon.
1973.
Allegedly.
Oh, yeah. True. It didn't happen. The Canadian Anik A2 becomes the first commercial satellite in orbit. They have commercials and satellite. Who the hell's going to watch them?
1979, the film Dawn of the Dead, the sequel to Night of the Living Dead, directed by George Romero, is released in U.S. theaters.
1994, the NASA Space Shuttle Endeavour lands on the conclusion of a mission chronicled by the Discovery Channel. What?
1994, WebCrawler, the first full-text search engine, is launched. The search engine was created by Brian Pinkerton while at the University of Washington.
1999, the iOmega Corporation, remember them, announces an agreement to integrate a 100 meg iOmega zip drive into the Sega Dreamcast video game systems. What are these past languages you speak of?
100 megabytes? Will it last? Is that enough speed? Well, you'll be able to use that for the next 100 years, Timmy. In 2001, Napster announces an agreement to license fingerprinting technology that may help thwart users' ongoing attempts to distribute copyrighted material. Of course, typically MP3 formatted music by renaming files. Clever.
2004, Gravity Probe B is launched from Vandenberg Air Force Base. It's a probe to confirm part of Einstein's theory of relativity with a physics experiment and to split the beer atom.
That's right. Never probe relatives. You learned that the hard way. In 2007, Life magazine publishes the last issue of its print edition. All future issues of the magazine will be published on the internet.
Birthdays?
Joey Lawrence, 41. Whoa.
J.D. Roth is 49 from GamePro TV. Remember that?
I grew up wanting to be J.D. Roth, right? Because he was a ginger, too. Andy Serkis. He also had to give out prizes to get friends. But anyway, Andy Serkis is 53. He, of course, is Gollum, Kong, and Caesar in Planet of the Apes.
Crispin Glover is 53 from Back to the Future, from the remake of Ben, from Charlie's Angels, Hot Tub Time Machine. A lot of things that would also be a little dark and twisted.
Yeah, he's a weird dude. Clint Howard, 58 years old, not only brother of Ron Howard, but he was also Gentle Ben. He was that weird-looking little kid on Star Trek and, of course, tons of low-budget flicks. Oh, and naturally, every Ron Howard film.
Jarrett Wynn Davies is 60 from Forever Night and Cube 2, Electric Boogaloo.
I loved Forever Night as a kid, man. Oh, that show was awesome. Louise Jameson, 66, Leela in Doctor Who and the Five-ish Doctors.
Jessica Lange is 68 from King Kong, Tootsie, American Horror Story. Brilliant in it.
Damn fine actress. Of course, you can see her in Feud as well. Hell We've yeah. also got Veronica Cartwright, 68 years old. From the 1978 version of Invasion of the Body Snatchers, Alien, Witches of Eastwick, and The Invasion.
Michael Brandon is 72, Senator Brandt in Captain America.
Ryan O'Neill is 76, Barry Lyndon, Partners, Malibu's Most Wanted.
Mr. Sulu is 80 years of age.
Oh my. We've also got Elena Vertigo, 92 years old, Ilonka in House of Frankenstein.
Leslie Phillips is 93 from The Thief of Baghdad, Lara Croft Tomb Raider, and the voice of the Sorting Hat in Harry Potter.
Also born on this day, no longer with us, 1836, Eli Whitney Blake Jr., cotton gin inventor.
1889, Adolf Hitler, painter.
Also the bad guy in the majority of the Indiana Jones movies. In 1893, we've got Harold Lloyd. He, of course, did crazy stunts in the name of comedy and was the namesake of the characters from Dumb and Dumber.
1904, Bruce Cabot. The 1936 Last of the Mohicans, The Green Berets, and Diamonds Are Forever.
Forever, forever. 1942, Betty Lou Gerson, voice of Cruella de Vil.
1940, James Gammon, Bud in Major League, and Marv in The Iron Giant. A damn fine film that Aww. Is not on TV.
I didn't know that he wasn't with us anymore, but I think he died in like 2010 or something like that. It was a long time ago. But on television tonight, we've got on CBS, we've got a rerun of Big Bang Theory, The Great Indoors, and two episodes of The New Amazing Race.
ABC's a rerun of Scandal, and then a new Scandal, and The Catch.
On NBC, we've got a new Superstore, Powerless, and two episodes of The Blacklist.
On Fox, it's a new MasterChef and Kicking and Screaming.
On CW, we've got a new H1Z1, Fight for the Crown.
I don't know what that means. Freeform, the show in Breaking Dawn, Part 1. And at the end of that one, Dobby dies, I think.
On Tune, we've got new We Bare Bears.
On The Simpsons, celebrating the day, you have The Otto Show and Homer Palooza, both of which are very funny.
On Game Show Network, we've got new Divided. The decades-long battle between marathon runners and married couples are finally fought out in the Thunderdome on Idiot Test.
BBC America just has Doctor Who episodes. I forget which ones, but you'll watch them all. They're great.
On Spike, we've got a new Justin Bieber versus Deion Sanders. What? Don't. I'm not even going to tell you what that show is called.
Okay. No one wants to know anyway. True TV has two brand new episodes of Impractical Jokers.
On Science Channel, we've got Mysteries of the Abandoned, Nazi Ghost Town.
Now, are they Nazi ghosts, or are they ghosts who decided to become Nazis?
Perhaps they changed their political affiliation in the afterlife. Who knows?
That's entirely possible. If we're watching anything, though, tonight, we're watching the Sci-Fi Channel, because an evil leprechaun holds an alien princess hostage so he can marry her and rule the universe. Warwick Davis, Rebecca Carlton, Debbie Dunning in the film with the nude scene more gratuitous than swordfish. It is the classic Leprechaun 4 in space.
Voice authorization needed to deliver waiting message.
Show me that damn mail. Huawei is how you pronounce Huawei, according to Ryan. He is the expert at that. He is the grammar patrol. I don't want to say grammar Nazis because we've oddly enough talked about them far too much for such a day. So if you'd like to talk about something not Nazi related, drop a note, won't you please? It's podcast@geekradiodaily.com. We'd love to hear from you and not Nazis.
Prepare yourself for action, romance, and spoilers. It's the Guilty Film Podcast.
Join hosts Kevin McKee, Andrew Nitsch, and their panel of scoundrels as they review their favorite cinematic guilty pleasures and reward their favorite Hollywood cliches with the prestigious Trope Award. Find us at guiltyfilm.com, like us on Facebook, and follow us on Twitter.
The proceeding was a paid advertisement sponsored by Taters.
What's Taters?
Taters is a delicious meal found in your grocer's produce section.
Guiltyfilm.com.
Yeah!
Hey guys, it's Jason David Frank, the Green Ranger, and you're listening to Geek Radio Daily.
Indeed you are. Welcome back to it. A Weekend Eve edition. It's always a good time. Time to get those controllers going. I played the Switch recently. Thought I would tell you that.
Greetings, Starfighter. You have been recruited by the Star League to defend the frontier against Zur and the Kodan Armada. Get ready. Prepare for blast off.
Video games develop hand-eye coordination and make kids into better human beings.
You shotten herring! You are a scurvy louse. You are a slop bucket. You are a pus sludge.
Why do you have to read that in here? I'm trying to play a game.
One thing I know is that my allies and I had just obliterated the largest horde of rabid zombies I'd ever encountered, and then suddenly, Chief Wiggum 49 and Halo is my bitch 12 decided to frag me.
Because when it's time to game, it's time to frag. It just happens. What can you get fragged to today, sir?
You can get the Trailer Park Boys' Greasy Money. Ricky, Julie, and Bubbles, along with all your favorite citizens of Sunnyvale, go on a misguided mission to run shady schemes, get rich quick, and rescue the park. It's available on Android and iPhone.
Bet it's greasy and got glitter all over it. Don't crash. Drive in circles, racing another car, and do what the title says. Don't crash on the Nintendo 3DS.
Rick and Morty Virtual Reality. The Vive game, Rick and Morty Simulator, Virtual Reality mashes together the absolute VR chaos of job simulators with Rick and Morty on PC. That was a crappy impression. I can normally do better.
PlayStation 4, Art of Fighting, SNK's second foray into the fighting game genre, known for large character sprites and the use of the Super Gauge, not the regular one, F that.
Everything from Double Fine Productions. Everything is playable in everything on PC.
Dark Souls 2, The Fire Fades Edition. The game melds elements from all previous Souls games and includes the Dark Souls trilogy for the PS4, so it's two but all three. Weird.
Numbers are fun. Dragon Quest Heroes 2. Dragon Quest hack and slash action returns for a second outing on the PS4.
Puyo Puyo Tetris, which lets you play 30 seconds of each version of the game in a battle mode, which is insane, are the two legendary puzzle games in a crossover title for the PlayStation 4 and Nintendo Switch.
And Batman Arkham VR, a VR short story within the Arkham universe on PC.
So want to play that. So want to play that. Oh my God, why can't it work for the galaxy? Why?
I'm not wearing any pants. Film at 11.
Geek News!
I'll take a look at the world from a geeky point of view. I'm going to start this off by telling you that it's still a rumor. But it's such a good goddamn rumor, we have to talk about it. Harry Potter, Game of Thrones, Captain America alumnus David Bradley is supposed to reprise his role as the first Doctor for Peter Capaldi's swan song during this year's upcoming Doctor Who Christmas special. Now, Bradley played William Hartnell in the wonderful Adventures of Time and Space, Space and Time, I should say, for the 50th anniversary, so he can do this. Now, according to The Mirror, and that's why this is still just a rumor, because The Mirror, they have a great source. He's going to be in the Yuletide special along with Capaldi. This will see the First Doctor and the 12th Doctor work together to try to save Gallifrey by moving it to another dimension. And this will be Capaldi's finale. So, it's very possible Capaldi's final scenes we see him as were the first ones we saw him as the Doctor in the 50th anniversary special. Timey-wimey.
Mar Vista Entertainment and IM Global Television have announced that they are teaming up to develop, co-produce, and co-finance the television series King Kong Skull Island, which they make clear is completely unrelated to the recent yet differently titled Kong : Skull Island.
Okay.
The project is said to be a serialized contemporary continuation of the classic, exclusively endorsed by Kong's creator, and will boast a female lead and multicultural ensemble that dwells fully into the wonders and horrors of Skull Island and its origins. Jonathan Penner and Stacey Tandel are attached as writers and executive producers, while Danny Festa will executive produce. Joe DeVito's 2004 art book, King: Kong of Skull Island, King of Skull Island, which functioned as prequel slash sequel to the original 1930s movie, will serve as the basis for the in-development television series. The project has yet to be taken out to networks and streaming services. The recent Kong: Skull Island grossed more than $552 million worldwide. Hopefully it ends up on the CW so we can get a Supergirl crossover with her and Superman fighting Kong and Titano, and they are about to win when Barry changes the timeline to stop Grodd. Damn it, Barry! No monkey around.
So is this related to the Kong Skull Island that just happened?
No, that's Kong colon Skull Island.
Oh, so
this is Kong colon King of Skull Island.
So theirs right goes na 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 na. I get it.
Yeah, right. Right. But the king and the Kong are there, but the colon.
Just laugh like Seth Rogen. Thank you. Competitive video games will become a medal sport for the first time ever at the 2022 Asian Games. The Olympic Council of Asia announced this. They said it's going to be a demonstration event at the 2018 edition of the next Asian Games held in Indonesia. Like the Pan American Games, the Asian Games is a multi-sport competition touted as second only to the Olympics in terms of size. 10,000 athletes participated in the most recent one in 2014. As for whether esports belong in Olympic Games or even in the Asian Games, don't forget, you can ski and then shoot a rifle for a long time. Skateboarding, sport climbing were added for the 2020 Olympics. Basically, Olympics need to get off their asses and add some roller derby, but I do have a small sense of pride paving the way for the legitimization for video games for my fellow athletes.
You'd better get your ass together. A new documentary is in the works about the classic James Bond GoldenEye game for the Nintendo 64. The game was released in 1997 exclusively for the N64 and is based on the best of the Brosnan run of Bond films. It is also widely regarded as one of the best video games of all time, unless your friend Steve picks Oddjob, because that guy's a dick. Now, Golden Era looks to explore how the team behind the game went on to defy all expectations and create one of the most influential console shooters of its generation. The film is scheduled for a 2017 release, but the team have so far only made $815 of their $85,000 total. The film will hopefully start shooting this summer and be released in October. Go support it. It's important. And remember that when they're shooting the film, they're shooting to kill.
The first March for Science, which coincides with Earth Day on April 22nd, will take place in more than 500 communities worldwide, involve hundreds of thousands of scientists and science advocates. Now, inspired by the success of the U.S. Women's March back in January, organizers are hoping to draw attention to recent federal cuts to environmental protections in scientific programs, and we have to protect science because, come on. So, what started out as a simple call to action from a Reddit message board in January has turned into an international rally in support of science. So, rock stars of science might be there. So, you could see acclaimed Sigourney Weaver lookalike Jane Goodall. Though she is working in the field, she may beam by or show up by satellite. Bill Nye the Science Dude is going to headline the DC March. Neil deGrasse Tyson is yet to publicly support the march, but no way is he going to let that nerd Nye get all the credit. Professor Brian Cox, the first lecturer professor. Wow. Stephen Hawking might be on a TV screen as well. He said, I have many friends and colleagues in the U.S., and it is still a place I like and admire in many ways. He added, but I fear that I may not be welcome. Or because, you know, it's a march. That guy is funny. Mayim Bialik will address the rally at Silicon Valley, even as Eldrick Bachman plans to steal the spotlight. And as a precaution, Professor Proton will be off-site as the designated scientist. GRD is a license of the Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Non-Derivative Works United States 3.0 license. Come check us out on Facebook and on Twitter and stop by the website at geekradiodaily.com. Get the app. You get your own bell that you can carry around any damn where you want. Go stop by YouTube, Geek Radio Daily. Search for it. Subscribe. We're going to get to 100. We're going to get a fantastic URL. There is a blooper reel cartoon. Can you have bloopers in cartoons? Apparently you can. There is a blooper reel cartoon. Man, those ILM. That's crazy. Drop a note to podcast at geekradiodaily.com, and we will see you when we do. Remember, we got another one, and then we're on break. But damn, we're going to miss you. Damn, we are. Damn.
I thought it was piss wrapped in poo.
I have no patience for useless things.
Good night, everybody.
Well, folks, I am out of here.
To understand what happened to Killer, you gotta understand who Killer the dog was. Now, Killer was born to a three-legged bitch of a mother. He was always ashamed of this, man. And then right after that, he's adopted by this man, Tito Leibowitz. He's a small-time gun runner and Rottweiler fight promoter. So he puts Killer into training. Next thing you know, Killer's good. He is damn good. Then he had to fight him his life. Pit him against his brother, Nibbles. And Killer said, no, man, that's my brother. I can't fight Nibbles. And he made him fight anyway. And Killer, he killed Nibbles. Killer said, that's it. He called off all his fights, and he started doing crack and freaked out. And then in a rage, collapsed. His heart no longer beat.
Wow. I never thought I'd say this to anybody, but you two smoke entirely too much reefer.